an intervention that we have undertaken over the last year to improve phonics, which is, I'll talk a bit about what phonics is and the context of that in our white primary schools. So I have put together a few of these slides to summarise some of the key points, but I'm happy to take the report from the board as well. So the legal status is that since 2012, all children in England have had to undertake a phonics check in the year in which they are 6 years old. So year one, the year after reception year in primary schools. Phonics is a really key skill for children. It enables children to hear sounds and link them to the way that those are used in writing, in spelling. It is a completely unnatural thing. There's nothing in our evolution that prepares us to turn squiggles into sounds. Humanity has evolved through talking to each other. It's only when people need to talk without being in the same room that we need to invent writing. When you invent writing, then there's a consistent way in which sounds that we hear are turned into squiggles that we read. That's the same for all language patterns. English is a very peculiar language. Unlike German, for instance, which is phonetically regular. There's only one way of saying everything you write in German as a sound. In English, for example, if I say to you, how do you spell sell? You're probably thinking of two different spellings. One has got S-E-L-L, and one has got C-E-L-L, but it's the same sound. And then if I ask you to spell cello, you'll then also realise that that starts with C-E-L. So how do you say C-E as a sound? Well, it depends. So even the word phonics is not a regular sound and correspondence to graphic. It starts with a PH, and we all know that is a F. And X can be spelled I-X, I-C-K-S, but in this particular case, it's I-C-S. And that's because our language is derived from many other languages. We've adopted words from French, from Latin, from Greek, as well as the old Anglo-Saxon words. So the history of words is really important. So when you're six, if you're six in Germany, it's pretty straightforward to learn phonics. If you're six in England, it's a pretty tricky thing. There are rules and there are the exceptions to the rules, and there are as many exceptions to the rules as there are rules. However, it's really important that children learn it, because if they don't learn it, they can neither read nor write correctly. So when you are reading, you are decoding the squiggles into a sound. Otherwise you can't say it in your head and you can't say it out loud, and therefore you won't know what it means. When you're writing, you have a word in your head that you can hear, and you're trying to turn it into the graphemes, the things you write, so that somebody else knows what you're trying to say. So we call that encoding when you're writing and decoding when you're reading. So phonics underpins reading writing. But the last distinction I think is worth making is that it's not the same for reading. Children can learn to decode what a word sounds like from the writing. That doesn't mean they understand what it means. That doesn't mean they actually get enjoyment out of reading that word. So it's a skill we need to deal with quickly, systematically, without imagining that what it is learning to read. It's a specific skill that you need in reading, but reading is creating meaning in your head from what you're reading about, getting immersed in the story. And so one of the difficult things here is teaching children that age a very unnatural thing in a way that is not terribly interesting. And it's got nothing to do with actually the world of books, because you need to do it in a very structured way. But if you don't get them through the gateway, they will not access all of the pleasure and information and life chance that are eventually. Does that make sense in terms of context? That's why it's key, and that's why it happens. Now, the history of this particular performance indicates for our high schools, Started with very low performance, so we go back to 2012, something like less than half of the children in our quiet primary schools in year one reached that. There was then quite a rise in improvement, which caught up to national, but over the last couple of years, so when we published the strategic plan, we did not talk about phonics because it was at the national average. But in the last 2 years, the national average has gone forward and the RFI average has stayed the same. So it's become a priority we need to pick up where we didn't realise there was one. So in terms of that, our previous offer was assuming that there was a systematic approach to the teaching of phonics in schools, because otherwise how would you get to national averages? So our priority was training teachers who didn't know very much about it, who were new to the profession, rather than working with leadership in our school systems. But we needed to respond and first of all diagnose what the problem was once the performance started to slip. The DfE had been strongly supported, the Department for Education had been strongly supporting this particular approach through having funded programmes, and I referred to that, which were read but not to many schools, only two schools in the Argyle qualified for the national funding, which was fairly generous, about £15,000 of worth of support for each school. But only two schools in the Argyle qualified because of the particular criteria that were put in place, which was more than just poor performance in phonics.
Says here that only one school.
Only one school took up that offer. In terms of eligibility, there were two who could have taken.
Why would you not?
But only one chose to apply for it. Which school is it? I don't have the information about which school is ready. I need to go back to a database for that. So, what we undertook, therefore, was to work with a programme of, put together a programme that would deal with the needs of the other schools, schools who chose not to take part in that programme, or who were not eligible anyway, which was actually part of the majority of this group of 20 schools, so that at least 70% of the schools who we found needed to work with. So that's what we did. What we didn't have was £15,000 per school. But luckily, we understand and know what it is, the principles of the intervention that needs to be done in working with schools. So we apply our own professional skills in this area to construct a programme. The aims of the project were straightforward, raise attainment, equip children with the skills, because that's the point, that the children need to have these skills, and equip the teachers and the leaders to ensure that there is a systematic and sustained approach that can be used in schools from this point forward. We don't want to fix something and then for it to get broken again. So we have those three things in mind. When we visited schools, that was the first thing, to find out why their performance had either dropped or it was too low, because that was the two criteria. Sharp falls or actually underlying low attainment for some time. We found that there was an inconsistency in teachers understanding how to teach the particular teaching approaches that were successful for phonics to make it interesting, snappy, fast, and to work clearly with the use of assessment. In other words, diagnosing what your weaknesses are and cracking it and moving on. School systems for tracking and analysing the progress, because it's not the end of year two, some schools have not paid that much attention to it because their reading results actually are fine. So we had a group of children who were learning their reading results, as we know, were close to national averages, so the phonics wasn't holding back all children. So their eye was, I think we fair to say, off the wall. They'd also had the same results previously, which had been high, so it would be reasonable to say they had expected results to continue being strong. What we also found was that the style of teaching and learning was one where children were not participating enough. In other words, they were doing a lot of listening, but not a lot of writing, responding, practicing out loud. And then, back to my analysis of what phonics is, being able to link what you say here and right. So getting that dynamic relationship is really key. So it should be lively, it should be something that's pretty snappy, it should be something that has a lot of interactions with a lot of modeling from the teacher of the correct articulation of sounds. So that's the other challenge in this area. We tend to speak, if we're not careful, we drop into the language that we use on the playground, and when we're chatting with people, we speak too fast. But rather like in this area, I'm taking care to enunciate the syllables and the sounds. Because if I don't, a child will not be able to pick up on the syllable breaks that there are in words. Okay, so put together, there are three aspects to cracking this problem. One, schools need to have effective program teaching schemes for the systematic movement through the levels. There is a good order, there is an order to develop this in. You don't need to invent it, it's pretty well worn, and we know what that is. Teachers need the skills to be able to use that scheme effectively and use the data they assess to keep responding to what children's needs were and keep adapting and checking that children really know it. It appears to be one of those skills that when you crack it, it doesn't go away, it stays with you. Therefore, that's the reality that teachers need to make sure that is happening. Schools that appear to need the most support were visited. So beyond the coming to a centre to train, we specifically visit those schools who began to talk with us about a lack of systematic structures and perhaps a weakness in underlying subject knowledge. Perhaps not just in year one, but also in the year that precedes it, because you don't just start learning this thing. It has to be part of what you are introduced to in the first year of statutory education year one. With some teachers we modelled, we showed them, we did example lessons, and we gave them an option to see what it was that we meant when we were talking about group practice. And the last part of the program I'm taking on is to try and work out what worked well and where it's worked less well, why that worked less well. There's always finessing in terms of understanding this. In terms of outcomes, the scores on the doors have increased fairly dramatically. So we knew that in order to get from 76% of our white children to 81% of children, we needed in the region of 64, 65 children who otherwise wouldn't have got to this standard last year to get to the standard this year, and that is what's happened across the system as a whole. Although that's a 5% improvement in the Isle of Wight as a whole, remember we were only working with 20% of the schools. The 20% of schools we were working with improved by an average of 11%. The other schools were already attaining well enough, highly, or the existing pattern. So we were fingers crossed that we didn't replace one set of schools with another set of schools, but that's what's happening here. So that's why 11% doesn't turn into 11% in young white, because there's less evidence in that. The other bit that's really helpful, I think, just to look at is we suspected that the children who were more likely to not be reaching the standard were the children who may have had a delayed start to their language because of their disadvantage. It's not particularly a special education needs issue. There is a gap, there is not a big gap, we knew that. It wasn't about what had happened in early years, because we checked that, there's no pattern in that. Not particularly a gender issue, except there were few more boys than girls. But the key thing was probably disadvantage. And if you look at what's happened there, the children who have most benefited from this are the children who are known to be on free school meals, which would seem year one is pretty likely to be currently on free school meals, which is the way that data set works. And that's a pretty mammoth rise there. We suspected that this was the group that would be representing children not yet. So the gap has reduced dramatically. The gap between children who are disadvantaged and children who are not disadvantaged has dropped to just 4%, which matches the gap for SEN. In fact, mainly the children with SEN who are also disadvantaged, because these groups are not mutually exclusive. So we're pleased with that impact. So next steps, we've continued the support in the schools where we found the practice needed the most development. The schools who have made the least improvement last year to this year, we're continuing our support quite close to them. We're also looking at schools who weren't on our list last year who are on our list this year. We are also looking from a child's point of view. The children who don't make this standard have a second go at it in year two, and that is a further gap that exists. Making sure that we don't go, well, that was their chance to get the test, but we actually have a, we make sure we work with them in year two, in the next year, so that they leave into junior phase of their education, key stage two, in primary school as well. That's what we are looking at now. There's a further gap to close there. And so that's a reasonable summary of what we did, why we did it, and how it happened.
Thank you very much. Right, questions now. Can you please, ladies and gentlemen, come through the chair when you ask questions? I noticed that Carl, Councillor Love, your hand was up. You would like to answer, please.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't go through the chair and realised afterwards that I died in. So, a habit that I should try to get rid of. Thank you. A very, very useful piece of work. No doubt about that. I am surprised about the level of, you talked about teachers, new qualified teachers, or new teachers. I would have expected them to be really good at phonics, having just come out from university and college. It's a lot from time. It's a lot from time. That means they are lost. She's need to have there. So I'm really surprised at that because they should be actually theoretically at their best. And that really struggles with grammar sometimes in terms of my dyslexia, which is a lot better than these days. I would expect what you're saying is no surprise to me in terms of the correlation between disadvantage. Just think that's really interesting. I've been really wanting to unpick why new qualified teachers would not have that range of skills.
So a response to that is it's difficult to know this on an individual basis, but it's not unusual, for instance, to find that a primary qualified teacher's teaching experience, particularly those who have been through a school-based training, might not have involved in working in year one. They may well have had most of their substantive practices in year three or year four, or year five or year six. So therefore, they may not have been introduced to a systematic teaching approach. They may well have been doing catch-up programs with individual children, but that's quite different to all of these children need to achieve this and we need to build it into the curriculum program. So in a sense, I think there is an aspect where these aren't just newly qualified teachers, these are also teachers who are more experienced but have not taught in that particular cohort. Or they're coming from schools who did not also have not had a systematic approach. And I think that the last part of that is, this has become a really crystal clear education priority since 2012. So there are some very experienced teachers who where there's not been the accountability for this and there's not been the support in place perhaps over quite a period of years. So inexperienced in a variety of ways, naive, unfamiliar, but I take your point that my understanding of the teacher training institutes I work with is they do cover this, but remembering it when you get to year one after perhaps you covered it 2, 3, 4 years before it is a different thing.
Councillor Cameron.
Thank you, Chairman. It's a good report and I'm impressed that you answered quite a few of my questions already. I just wanted to know what the criteria was for the schools to qualify for the funding and also why would a school turn down opportunity of funding it from the same holdings? That's they would be willing to back up. And also, third question we want is why now? The policy's been around quite a while, quite a few years, and all of a sudden now it's become a priority.
Okay, I'll take those in order, in reverse order if I may. Why now? Because the reformation of the national curriculum that was published in 2012 and then statutory from 2014 narrowed the curriculum to the essentials, and one of the essentials that was identified was the teaching of synthetic phonics. In other words, the ability to blend sounds from individual letters together and to learn that systematically. There has been a debate in the profession over a long period of time about whether you acquire that skill through being immersed in books and the pleasure of reading, or whether you should be taught this almost at the exclusion of that. There is a very live and ongoing debate, and I could introduce you to several people who would talk at length about that. The question is, in our view, it's not an either or. You need both. So the international curriculum underlined it, and the minister, one of the education has taken it as a pretty much a personal mission to pursue this policy line because of the belief that minister has that this is a fundamental weakness and a business result. So that's that part of that question. In terms of the criteria, the criteria involve the Ofsted category that school were in, the level of social economic disadvantage, as well as the previous performance. And as we know, fortunately, and we're very pleased that the number of required improvement scores has dropped, but the negative side of that is assumed you know how to do, because you're a good school in Ofsted terms, you will definitely know how to teach phonics systematically. And of course, because of the previous data, which had previously been strong, by the time all those filters were applied to a national pool that wasn't very big, there were very few schools in Hampshire or the Isle of Wight. There was a regional pool of, I think, probably about five from South East Hampshire and Isle of Wight. So it was fair. In terms of the reason why, I prefer not to go into the individual, we're not naming the individual schools in terms of performance, so I don't know. However, I talked broadly about context, changes of leadership, other issues to tackle, the commitment to the government-funded programme was a commitment to pretty much exclusively do this. It involved 10 development days, the involvement of an English lead to primarily focus on this, 3 whole school inset days. It was a pretty mammoth, so you'd have to have that as an absolute single priority. It's for leaders to decide what the relative priorities are in this, and as much as this is an important priority, to my knowledge, no school has yet failed its Ofsted, nor been held to account for having low phonics results in year one. And remember, the context is year two reading scores have been amongst the best of performance indicators for other micro primary schools. So, thanks for that.
Councillor Andre.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to also echo my colleague's comments on a very thorough report and very well delivered. So thank you very much for that. I'm very reassured to hear that you're actually using a tried and tested model, because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. In terms of those children that do actually don't make the grade in year one, is it the same test that they actually would take in year two? Or is it benchmarked at the level that they would be expected to be in year two?
No, it's pitched at the same level, and the reason for that is the life cycle of proficiency. It doesn't matter how old you are, it's a very specific skill. Therefore, it's not the same test as you would expect it to be, and the test consists of known graphemes, the squiggles and the sounds that go with them, ch being ch, and nonsense words, so that children can't rely upon their sight vocabulary of words that they know to decode the sounds and the writing symbols that go with them.
Thank you.
So Gazorna plaques is just as likely to appear as a word as encyclopedia.
I have a question. I'm quite surprised to hear that maybe new teachers aren't that good with phonics. I would have expected perhaps that older teachers who've been around a long time, who, because there was some resistance to phonics when it was first introduced, if I remember correctly, I'm quite surprised to hear that it is younger cohort coming in that are not necessarily au fait with it. But one thing I would say, I learnt phonics when I was 17. I did a Pitman shorthand course. And I tell you, it even now, I found it very difficult to translate the sound instead of wanting to write the word. If you said to me, chum, you write something, but of course, in Pitman's situation, it's just a line, two lines. So it's interesting. Anyway, one other question. In 16, two schools elected not to participate after the initial session. Can they do that?
All schools, in our academic system, unless they're subject to statutory intervention, have the right to make the choices that they want to about how best to promote improvement in their schools. So these two schools elected one, because they were the school that took up the government offer, and the other chose that there were other priorities that they wished to participate in. We have had follow-up conversations on their performance in this measure.
Councillor Brady?
I just wanted to say, I've been in quite a few primary schools, and I've seen Bonnie's lesson doing school of into, and it's a fun lesson. It's a real fun way of seeing kids sit on the floor, some use their own white pad, their own white boards, and they write things down. And the teachers have fun teaching it, whilst it isn't, and I can say your credit, thank you, Derek, and his team, because we should be, this is proud, otherwise done really, really well on phonics. We put percentages back, and we're actually above the national average for something in education. I think, you know, we need to play that up, and the press has picked up on this. We are above national average in phonics. The excellent work that's happened this year. Thank you, Dylan, and the team for doing it, because we're now in a really good position. And we're not stopping here, that's the key part. There's more to do, and we're going to do it. It's a real credit to the other way, but our point is just taking off. Thank you.
One other comment. You've got in September, your learning assistants are going to do a phonics course. I would like to attend. I don't know if any of the other members of the committee would, but I would be quite intrigued. And I feel I'm probably at a level of learning assistants as opposed to being there with teachers.
You're very welcome. If you want to make contact with me outside the meeting, I'm sure we can work out an opportunity to go and visit you. But I think it sounds as if your skills of turning squiggles into sounds are already advanced. Or vice versa, sounds into squiggles. Thank you very much for that endorsement. The 2018 national figure has not yet been published. So all we know is that we have certainly reached at the national average compared to last year. Schools do have a tendency to keep on improving, but hey, we'll carry on and crack it next year.
The final question from Councillor Howe, please.
Thanks, Chairman. I'd like to go back to a concern about, I know we talked about it, and this number of schools that could have taken up to this amount of money. Now, one of the questions I'd like to ask is, how many schools in Hampshire actually took up this offer for a sum?
I don't know the precise answer, so I won't give a number. I know there were a very small number, because there were a very small number that were eligible. There were a very small number. In percentage terms, probably therefore less of a percentage than there was worldwide. It's a very small pool of schools that are approached nationally.
Well, right. Now, I've been at Gaffer for 40 years now, and I believe that I've always supported Colleagues. But what worries me is that we only pick up on some of the schools, and there are probably a number of schools that would have liked to have taken part, a number of schools that would like to be involved in learning more about phonics. It just worries me that when we were talking about hearing years ago, the number of schools, we asked the person who's dealing with it about talking about hearing loss and stuff like that in the school. Well, how do you decide how much time each child has? Well, we can't do that. We have to judge it, because we haven't got many people teaching it, that they've decided on how much time we're allowed and just divide it up amongst the amount of children and not whether the children need it. Now, what I don't want to happen is that you decide that the schools need more and more training, or the teachers need more and more training, but you're not able to offer it because there's nobody to teach them. Is that a problem? Would that be a problem on not having trainers to actually take it into schools?
How fortunate, in the blended team that works in Hampshire and our site consists of 10 English inspectors and advisors, all of whom can teach this programme. It's very clear we have a systematic way of dealing with this professional development, as do some other commercial providers. We use free, publicly available schemes of work rather than published materials. There is no need for schools to purchase new materials. Therefore, we have a cost-effective solution, and I don't think there's any issue with us not being able to deliver that. What we did this year was that we funded it, so there was no charge, because the Isle of Wight Council, in effect, was funding this intervention. So we took that. As you know, we can't commit to do that for every school for all bits of improvement work. It's a sole service, unless there is a particular intervention that's in mind. That's part of the balance that we need to do.
Sorry, just one last thing on that. Is that speech therapy, does that also bring it into phonics? Does it need to work alongside speech therapy?
So children with a specific learning difficulty related to either their articulation or their hearing, with both of those, but with hearing in particular, children need a more careful approach to, and that sometimes we have adaptive materials to help them tell the difference between different phonemes, the units of sound, but they can achieve this. They need the adaptations to it that enable them to do it. With children with speech defects, often schools will use cued articulation, which gives a visual cue in addition to the sound, which helps children understand whether the sound is coming from their throat, and it's a soft sound, or it's a sound that has a voice with it. Good has a voice with it, doesn't, for instance. So, and there are cues that are called cued articulation. That is the key strategy that the teachers need, and that's part of our strategy for teaching children as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The committee recommendation is that we note the report. So, could I have a proposer, please, and a seconder? Thank you. Thank you, Eric, for your presentation.
Yeah.